Good morning and welcome to Sharper Iron. Spend the next hour with us studying the living and active Word of God, His two-edged sword of law and gospel, recorded for you in Holy Scripture, all about Jesus Christ, crucified, risen, and ascended for you. Thanks for tuning in this morning here on Worldwide KFUO, Christ for you, anytime, anywhere. I'm your host, Pastor Timothy Apple of Grace Lutheran Church in Smithville, Texas. On this Monday, July 15th, we find ourselves in the middle of Exodus chapter 3, in the middle of the Lord speaking to Moses from the burning bush. There's just too much in this chapter for one episode, so we split it in two. And today we're going to be looking at the latter half of that chapter, at perhaps one of the most famous passages in the Old Testament. Moses will ask for God's name, and God replies, "I am who I am." That and more is recorded for us in Exodus 3, verses 13 through 22, our text for this morning. Helping us to dig into it today is Pastor Gavin Mize. Pastor Mize is a regular guest on Sharper Iron and serves at Augustana Evangelical Lutheran Church in Hickory, North Carolina. Pastor Mize, welcome back to Sharper Iron.
Thank you, Pastor Apple. It's good to be here.
Excellent. So Pastor Mize, context is always important when we look at the scriptures, and especially as we're coming out of a weekend today, I think it's helpful for us to remember where we are in the account. So get us started this morning by bringing us up to speed as to what's going on in the book of Exodus up to this point and any other background information that's going to be helpful for us in understanding the text today.
Sure. First, when we begin in chapter 2, we see every Lifetime cartoon moment of Moses, Lifeway movie of Moses, where he's put off in a basket and is found and taken really out of context. But that's neither here nor there. But Moses then flees Midian, and God hears the moaning of his Israel, and He comes to answer His call, or their call.
Okay, good. Yeah, so He comes to answer their call, right? And so He's called Moses. He's spoken to him in the burning bush, right? We've heard a little bit of interaction between the Lord and Moses. And we left off last time with chapter 3, verse 12, where the Lord promises, "I will be with you." And I think that's a key verse that sometimes we forget about here. And I know it's not our text for today proper, but I do think that it's important that we remember this, "I will be with you," as we get into looking into what the Lord says His name is, "I am." And I don't know, Pastor Mize, you have any thoughts about how those things relate, this "I will be with you" and "I am who I am"?
Absolutely. And you kind of caught me off guard with the first question.
Sorry about that.
This really bookends, right? I will be with you always. It bookends with Christ's resurrection and showing up with the disciples and says, "Peace be with you." And even more when He says, not just any peace, but "My peace I give to you." We go back to last Sunday's text in the three-year lectionary. "My peace I give to you. My peace I leave with you. And I will be with you to the very end of the age." And so Christ is, as He often does, echoing back His own Father's words to His people. Right there, well, you can see what a great intercessor He is. Because every Jew who was in that room, and probably the Gentiles who had been following as His disciples, understood what Christ was saying. "I will be with you even to the end of the age." And He says so right as He is telling them that He will ascend. And they're like, "Well, no, well, hang on now. We don't want you to ascend. We like you here." You know, remember Peter and James trying to build tents for Him and Elijah and Moses. And he says, go ahead.
No, keep going.
I was going to say, would you just see this echoed and Christ repeating the words of his father? I do my father's will. Abraham rejoiced when he saw my day, which is pointing to the incarnation. And then upon his resurrection, he says, now this is the day that you have witnessed. He talks to doubting Thomas and says, put your hand here. And then ascends, and then two angels come down, and they're like, what are you looking at? Did you not hear him? He will descend in the same way that he ascended. So stop looking into celestial equivalent of navel gazing. Stop looking into the air and go right. Do good works for your neighbor. Do what Christ has taught you. Baptize and teach all nations and feed them. So, you can just see that echo.
Exactly, and that's a great thing to point out, how the Lord does echo these words in particular, and throughout the Old Testament, right? The words of the Lord from the Old Testament, are our Lord Jesus echoes that throughout his ministry, and the text that we have before us today is a wonderful example of that. And I think we're going to get started here into the text, and I'm just going to read the first two verses, because there's a ton packed in when we hear what the Lord says his name is. So this is Exodus 3, verses 13 and 14. Then Moses said to God, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. So that's only two verses, but there's just so much there. So Pastor Meisner, the Lord's been talking to Moses, right? He said, I'm going to be with you. And then Moses says, wants to know, well, what's your name? What should I tell them? So what's going on here for Moses? Does he not know who God's name? Has he forgotten it? What's going on there?
Yeah, there's one thing that I always think is kind of funny is I went on a vicarage. I assume you went on a vicarage. And there are so many who have just been placed in vicarages. And I often wonder if vicars are taught what a vicar is and what a vicar means and to be on a vicarage. And I don't think that they are. Because we've been using the term vice for vice president our whole lives, and we don't think about what vice actually means in Latino. But truly, a vicarage is to go on account of. So you have a bishop, and he sends his vicar to do the bishop's work while the bishop is doing something else. It's the exact same thing for the president of the United States. He sends his vice president out to do a job under the president's name while the president attends to something else. And that is exactly what Moses is. Moses becomes God's vicar. And what he takes to the people of Egypt is his name. So you think, well, that's a pretty heavy load to bear. But truly, I mean, that was Moses's vicarage. He says, look, I understand everything you're telling me, but you got to give me some kind of credentials here. I can't just give, if I just go over there by myself and say, look, my God says this, what's going to be the difference between any of their gods? Like, I need to know who to tell them that you are. And for the first time, we hear God use his name. I am who I am. Yahweh, this is my name. Take that to them. And it's like, we don't even comprehend as we're reading it, we don't comprehend it properly, the power of what was just given to Moses on his vicarage. What was given to him was the very power that would make baptism baptism, the very power that would make the Lord's Supper the Lord's Supper, absolution possible, repentance possible. I did those in reverse order, but you know what I'm saying.
Sure, yeah.
But I mean, it's so huge that we can't look over it, because he heads to the Egyptians and he says, I am has sent me, and here's what I am says. And apparently they didn't find it quite as impactful as you and I do.
Well, yeah, I think that's a good point. Let's talk about this, you know, this name of God for a while, and a couple of thoughts, you know. So this, and I think you said, right, this is the first time where the Lord, and of course in the English translations is going to be written capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, right, the name Yahweh in Hebrew, that the Lord is going to reveal this name. And yet, right, I mean, you know, anyone who's read, you know, the book of Genesis, which we've just gotten through here on Sharper Iron, knows that throughout the book of Genesis, God is often named the Lord, this name that's given to Moses. And you even have this note in Genesis at the end of chapter 4 in Genesis that it was at that time. I mean, this is back before Noah, right? At that time, the people began to call upon the name of the Lord, this name that we're talking about here. I mean, so, and I'm sure that Pastor Fisk addressed this when they talked about the Genesis 4 text, but not having looked back and that being a while ago, you know, what are we to make of that use of the name Lord in the book of Genesis? Is Moses, you know, as he writes the book of Genesis, is he update, you know, just using the name that the people would have known, and he's using that name? This comment in Genesis 4 that people began to call upon the name of the Lord, had they forgotten some things since then? You know, between Genesis 4 and Exodus 3 and this long time in Egypt, we do know from, you know, other places in Scripture that the people of Israel worshipped idols in Egypt. So had they forgotten some things? I mean, go ahead.
Absolutely. And well, also, I think everyone had forgotten some things. I would back it up a chapter from what you're quoting from Genesis 3, you know, the fall of man. That's sure. Because when we talk about the image of God, we're not talking about that we look like God, right? We're not talking about that we have the dynamic cheekbones and, you know, 10 fingers and 10 toes. We're talking about image as the will of God. And when our will is God's will and God's will is God's will, then we are in perfect harmony. You know, we are really incantational. We sing together in harmony, humans and God Himself. But once the fall, we reimagined ourselves, and our will became our will, and then the relationship became invocational instead of incantational, and where before we needed for nothing, and now we have to call upon and invoke the name of the Lord. But we don't have any evidence that word is, that his name is used, which is why I wish that they would just stop translating it capital L-O-R-D and just put Yahweh. You know, because I don't think we're doing ourselves any favors. But I do agree with you that, you know, something seems to have been lost or forgotten. In particular, in Egypt, of course, you know, there were more than one gods, and calling upon the name of the Lord, you know, it makes it pretty definite. And so when Moses comes in and says, "Hey, here's some words from the Lord," then they're like, "Well, okay, I mean, which one?" Oh, okay, right. Well, actually, he told me his name, so it's Yahweh. And there's the power I was talking about before.
Sure, yeah, and that's where, you know, the name I Am, right? This name that we'll keep talking about this, I think, for a while, but is, you know, is help going to be helpful as Moses goes back to Egypt, rather than, certainly there's a lot packed into, you know, the phrase that's been used, and we'll see again that he's the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you know, and there's a lot there, and we shouldn't discount that phrase, but at the same time, this name, I Am, has a ton packed into it, Whereas, you know, they could hear the God of your fathers and maybe do some misinterpretation or interpret it based on their faulty memories and the things that they've forgotten and the idols that they've seen in Egypt. Whereas the name I am who I am, this name Yahweh that the Lord's now given Moses, is going to be more specific and is going to, you know, it's just got a ton packed into it. So keep helping us unpack that name, I am, Pastor Mize.
Okay. Well, let's move a little bit more into the text here.
Okay. Sure. All right. Let's. Yeah. That's. Why don't
That way we can expound, if you don't mind. Just.
Sure. Yeah.
A couple more verses.
Sure. Not a problem. I'm gonna go ahead and just read the remainder of the text because it's kind of hard to break it up, and then we'll just hit the rest of it with the time that we have. So this is Exodus 3. I'm beginning now at verse 15. God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, has appeared to me, saying, I have observed you and what has been done to you in Egypt, and I promise that I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt to the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey. And they will listen to your voice, and you and the elders of Israel shall go to the king of Egypt and say to him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. And now please let us go a 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. But I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless compelled by a mighty hand. So I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all the wonders that I will do in it. After that, he will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And when you go, you shall not go empty, but each woman shall ask of her neighbor and any woman who lives in her house for silver and gold jewelry and for clothing. You shall put them on your sons and your daughters, so you shall plunder the Egyptians. That's the remainder of our text for today. And I think it's going to help us, as you said, dig further into this, what the Lord is saying with his name, I am who I am. So Pastor Mize, before our break, we've got about 8 minutes left here to start digging into that name. Go ahead.
Okay. The reason that I wanted us to get a little more into this is because he says he regards his name, or he tells Moses his name is not just simply I am who I am. That is, I exist. I am. I mean, that's a verb form. I exist. I am. It's not like these others who do not exist, but yet you draw authority from. You know, drawing authority from inanimate objects. God is the Lord, the great I am. And in particular, because I'm going to keep using this term, last time with Pastor Fisk, I used the word typology, and we can still use that word. But I think here there's more of an echo, a back and forth between God the Father and God the Son, and we are in the middle, getting to hear the cacophony of the beautiful melody that is the law and the gospel. And in particular, and I know we only have 5 minutes, so I'm going to run this as a thought, and then we will maybe hopefully revisit it. Number one, when it says here, and they listen to your voice, and they will listen to your voice, and you and the elders of Israel shall go to the king of Egypt and say to him, okay, go to the authorities and say to him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us, and now let us go 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. Okay, 3 days. I mean, come on. Number one, I kind of feel foolish bringing it up, but obviously the rest in the tomb. Wilderness connects directly to the scapegoat. This, you know, there was a sacrificial goat whose throat was slashed on the altar, and then the sacrificial goat, who really had it worse off because they would place the sins on the goat, and he would just wander off into the wilderness and die. And so they go out. They desire to go out for 3 days and come back with their sins atoned by the sacrifice. And so all of this is connected directly to I am who I am, because he's the one saying, go and do this. Go to Pontius Pilate, if you will, and say, and the only thing that Christ says to him is, that Christ says to Pilate is, you have said it, or you have said so. He let Pilate say who he is, the king of the Jews. Whereas God, Yahweh, is saying, I am who I am. Thus you will go to the people of Israel and to the Lord, the God of your fathers, the Lord of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, has sent me to you. And this is my name forever, which is baptismal. And thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations. And it continues all the way to the typology of Christ, where the Israelites are to go, are asking to go into the wilderness for 3 days to sacrifice and to return to a rather horrible existence, but with their sins forgiven.
That's a very fascinating connection that you make there in terms of the 3 day rest in the tomb and the sacrifice that Christ makes. I think we should come back to that, but we still have about 4 minutes here before our break, and I want to keep digging into this thought of the name. And you brought up the phrase, you know, that the Lord says, this is my name forever, that I'm to be remembered throughout all generations. And you know, we've talked about how this is the name Yahweh, and yet, you know, I mean, most Christians, or a lot of Christians today, don't, when they pray, they don't say dear Yahweh. I mean, you and I use that phrase or that name sometimes in our preaching and our teaching, but it's maybe not on the lips of every Christian. And you mentioned, I think rightly, you know, that this is a connection to the baptismal name that we've been given. So with about 3 minutes before our break, start helping us unpack some of that as to how this is the name that's going to be remembered always, and the connections to baptism.
Absolutely. And I'll do so with the text from Trinity Sunday. Jesus answered, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God.
It's from John chapter 8, Pastor Mize.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah,
no, it's okay. Go ahead.
But you have not known him. I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day, and he saw it and was glad. So the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, amen, amen, I say to you, before Abraham was, Yahweh, I am. So they picked up stones to throw at him, which is not a good idea. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. And right there, I think in that there is a huge connection, because not only did I am, the great I am, go from the Holy of Holies to the temple of Mary's womb, into the flesh, into the world, but then he went back into the temple until that time when he pronounced who he was, and the presence of God was back in the temple. And he says, hang on, you don't claim Abraham as your father, because he rejoiced to see my day. And before he ever existed, I am, not was or will be. He literally says, I am. And then they drive the presence of God out of the temple, which shows the rejection of the cornerstone, in my opinion, for the final time, before he turns his face towards Jerusalem and is crucified. So they literally drive the name of Yahweh out of the temple in the incarnation, in the incarnate Son of God.
And it, and that is, you know, I think that's a great a point to bring up John 8 here, this where Jesus very clearly, you know, says that he is the Lord, right? That he is Yahweh, the God of the Old Testament, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the one who spoke to Moses in the burning bush. We need to take a quick break here, but we've got Pastor Gavin Mize of Augustana Evangelical Lutheran Church in Hickory, North Carolina, helping us out this morning with Exodus 3, verses 13 through 22, looking especially at the name that God gave to his people, I Am Who I Am, and how that still comes to us in holy baptism today. Please stick around as we continue to dig into this text.
Hello, this is Dr. Dale Meyer. Have you heard Concordia Seminary's program, Word and Work and Intersection? Every week, you can hear it on KFUO Thursdays at 2 p.m. Central Time. We visit with many interesting guests about how the Word of God applies to their daily vocations and ministries. Be sure to tune in, and may the intersection of Word and Work be busy on your corner.
Welcome back to Sharper Iron here on Worldwide KFUO this morning, Monday, July 15th. I'm your host, Pastor Timothy Apple of Grace Lutheran Church in Smithfield, Texas. I'm talking with Pastor Gavin Mize this morning on Exodus chapter 3, verses 13 through 22. Pastor Mize serves at Augustana Evangelical Lutheran Church in Hickory, North Carolina. Pastor Mize, before the break, we were speaking at length about the name, I Am Who I Am, and the many connections that we see our Lord Jesus making in the New Testament. You brought up John chapter 8. What else should we see about this name that God gives to Moses and he sends them to the people of Egypt, and how that still matters for us as Christians today?
Over the break, I was thinking, when Moses says, who should I say? And then he goes to the people of Israel. God gives him that name, Yahweh. I am who I am. But then I started thinking, okay, but how do the people connect to that? You know, this is Moses' vicarage, like I said, going to the people. But how does the I Am connect to the people of Israel? Today we ask the same question, because Lutherans are not mystics. So how does the cross and the resurrection connect us to faith and justification? Well, the means of grace. Okay, so we become not a part of I Am. And then when we are baptized in the name and in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, as shown right there in the last chapter of Matthew, it becomes he remains I Am, and we become whose we are, and that is baptism itself, you know. I am the all-powerful. I am the ones who will bring you out of Egypt into the promised land. I am the one who will forgive your sins. I am the one who created the heavens and the earth. Look at when he's talking to Job, and he gives Job what for there at the end. Where were you when I created or when I separated the land and the sea? And we so badly want to scurry away from that in our old Adam, but when his name is laid upon us, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. That is Yahweh grasping us and holding us into his heart and saying, you are not as autonomous as you think you are. You belong to me. You know, it is better to be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord kind of idea. That by that name, we are sealed. By that name, in those holy waters, we are sealed. And God, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit remain I am, and we become His own. And that way we don't have to stand on our own two feet. We don't have to, not to say we don't struggle with sin, but we do, and we should and must repent and should try to do good works for our neighbor. However, even when we're pulling and wrenching away from Yahweh, His name has that power to keep us in his grasp. And that's why Luther says in a small catechism to make the sign of the cross, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in remembrance of your baptism. And I hope that our listeners have this in their bulletin. Every time the Trinitarian words are said, to make the sign of the cross, because it's a tangible, touchable way to remind you that of whose you are, and you are I am's. If I can use it as a pronoun there.
Sure. Yeah, no, and I think that's appropriate. You know, this connection that we're making here between the name I am and then the triune name of God, I think is such an important one for us to make as we think about Exodus 3 for us as Christians today. And I think it's, you know, you think about some of the other places where the name of the Lord is so important. In Numbers chapter 6, for example, when the Lord tells Aaron to put His name on the people, and He gives them this blessing, right? The blessing that we still use in many of our congregations today. And it's a threefold one, right? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you. The Lord look upon you with favor, or lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace, the same peace that Jesus gives, right? So this threefold name, this threefold blessing of God in the Old Testament, then Christ comes, right? And in His incarnation and His life, death, resurrection, He reveals to us who this I am is, and we see His heart fully, and He gives, right, the gift of baptism in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And this name then that Jesus has and Jesus gives, that continues to be such an important thing in the scriptures, in the New Testament. Acts chapter 4, when Peter is preaching there, and he says that there is no other name given among men under heaven by which we must be saved. And Paul in Philippians chapter 2 talks about at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. And even in 1 Corinthians 12, where he gives that very simple spirit-given confession that Jesus is Lord, right? We have an echo here of this name in Exodus chapter 3 that God gave to Moses to give to the people of Israel on his vicarage. And now our Lord Jesus gives us this name in holy baptism. Thoughts, Pastor Mize?
Yeah, it's the divine version of paying it forward, right? And I say that somewhat jokingly, but you've heard of that, right?
Sure.
I think it was a movie also. And that was a fad a little while back, where if you were at McDonald's and you paid for the person behind you, paid for their car behind you, their meal, and that was like paying it forward, and then that person was supposed to pay it forward, and of course it was all moralistic therapy, but the reason that I'm bringing this to that point or that illustration is because the name of the Lord that was given to Moses is passed along, and it remains throughout people's lives from birth to death, and to Christ's birth and death and resurrection, and it will remain when He comes to judge both the living and the dead. That is this. It goes forward. This name. It's not just something that. You know how you can be in a conversation and someone can tell you your name and you're just thinking about the next thing you want to say to them, and then you completely forget the name of the person you're talking to. I do.
Sure.
Well,
you're Pastor Mize, right?
Yeah. That's
okay.
Right.
Okay. All right.
It's the opposite of that. This name carries so much weight. In fact, when I say weight, I truly mean salvation. It keeps on forwarding and forwarding and forwarding, and it does so the same way that plants do, through watering and word. And as Christians, we then bear fruit according to His name and on behalf of His name, so that no man can boast except in the Lord Yahweh.
Right. Yeah. No. That's a great point that you're making. I think about how the name of the Lord is passed down, right? And I think maybe another example that we could use would be how, you know, the Father's name is passed down to the children and so mm-hmm. forth. And in the same way, right, God's name is given to us. And then how that name remains, I think, is so crucial to see too. You think about the liturgies that we have around funerals and death and dying and the committal, and how much of that is baptismal language, right? How, you know, even the covering of the casket with the funeral pall to remind that this person is covered with Christ's righteousness and does bear the name of God, right, in holy baptism. And the use of Romans chapter 6 at the beginning of the funeral liturgy. And then in the committal, how we remember that this body that we lay to rest it has been made holy, right? Through the waters of holy baptism in the work of the Holy Spirit, how this name of God does remain with us and carries us even from death and into life everlasting.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah. So even when we even when we die, we can't escape Yahweh. No matter how hard
that's
we try.
That's a good thing, I think.
It is. We sent ourselves to death to try to get away from God, but He has made that impossible. And that's exactly how, through that water and those words, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, you know, we would prefer to die to get away from God, due to our sins. And God says, no, you are in the palm of my hand. And not to get too sappy, but I preached on Holy Trinity that the way that it was for a Christian is that all that we know about the Holy Trinity can fit in the palm of the Holy Trinity's hand. And when that hand closes, it closes the casket on this life, and we are brought hand to heart, where we know truly the Trinity and what true forgiveness and everlasting life and dining forever on the Lamb in His kingdom, and what that truly is. But for now, that's why I love Hans Finney's Holy Trinity Lutheran satire, because nothing's going to be able to explain it. The Athanasian Creed is the closest thing that we have. But in that name, we are tattooed. In the Hebrew, our names are tattooed, permanently carved or stained onto God's hands, so that He shall not forget us. And we live in those wounds, as well as in the wounds of the Son of God, Jesus Christ Himself. And we do so, again, all flowing forth from that Holy Trinity. And what a blessing it is to know that you, Pastor, are God's own, and that you get to tell people that not only is it wonderful that I am God's own, but you are too. Hey, you see the kid in the third row? I baptized him. I know he's going to heaven. And to get to be able to do that every Sunday, it truly is a joy. And we pastors get to be little Moseses, and go and tell God's people about His name and about what He has done, and that His name is not sedentary, but that His name is active, and moves, and forgives, and bleeds, and becomes meat to eat, wine, blood to drink, and it all starts by getting wet behind the ears in holy baptism. Or like one of my favorite hymnists once wrote, He, Yahweh, plants the tree of life on our foreheads with water.
And all of that because it is giving us His name. And because, exactly, as you said, because we have His name, then He has our names written upon Him. Exactly. And that wonderful assurance, you know, to be able to look upon those baptized and know then that the Lord has their names written in the palm of His hand, written in the book of life, who is Christ Himself. Pastor Mize, we've got about 11 minutes left here this morning, and we've spent, you know, a lot of time, and rightly so, speaking about God's name, but there's certainly a lot of things in this text as the Lord reveals His name to Moses, right? Sends him on his vicarage, as you've said. There's a lot that He commands then, you know, in this vicarage that he's giving Moses. As you look, you know, throughout the rest of the text, towards the end, what are some other things that you see that we should pick up from these words?
Firstly, I want to address something that you said there about written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I often refer to that writing in the Lamb's Book of Life as a quill filled with the blood of Christ, and that it was written upon every stroke, or as the hymn, Stricken, Smitten, and Afflicted would say, that the deepest stroke was the stroke that justice gave, and every lashing, every nailing was the writing in the Lamb's Book of Life with His blood in the quill. And I always think that's a good, if we're going to talk about the Lamb of God, the Book of the Lamb, then we need to add that in there. It's not like, I don't like people thinking that it's like a registry, you know, like St. Peter's up there with, you know, with the IRS machine, sure, you know, just jotting down. Billy was baptized. That's good. You know, no, it's a little more than that. You know? And then to go on, the interesting thing is, this text is one that you will not hear Joel Osteen preach on, because it's all good and great until you come to 19. You're gonna go tell them my name. Or you're going to go tell him this. Okay, well, who should I say is I'm going on behalf of? Yahweh. Okay. And also you're going to ask the Israelites to go out into that desert, or to be able to go out into the desert and sacrifice animal and come back. And if it were, then Joel Osteen Sermon would stop there and say, see, if you just ask God what for what you want and you're devoted, He will rain blessings upon you. But then he does get to 19, where it says, but I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless compelled by a mighty hand. Right. So they're not coming back to mansions and Porsches and Ferraris. They're coming back into the church militant, you know, the church that we're in, the church militant. Not that there are two churches, but one church is, but you know what I mean, on this side of the veil of tears. And then the Lord says, so I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all the wonders that I will do in it. After that, he will let you go. And I don't want our readers to read that I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all the wonders that I will do in it. He's not saying that this is all the wonders that he can do. He says, and I think we need to read this in context. He says, I will stretch out my hand and do all the wonders that I will do in Egypt. So there are specific things that he's going to do. And I think it also answers the questions of, you know, why do bad things happen to good people and good things happen to bad people? It's like, well, no, actually, these are the wonders in which he's going to do, which he hasn't told them yet, told him yet. I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And when you go, you shall not go empty, but each woman shall ask of her neighbor, any woman who lives in her house, for silver and gold and jewelry, gold jewelry, and for clothing, and you shall put them on your sons and your daughters. So you shall plunder the Egyptians. And I find that word very funny, plunder. And I'm looking at the ESV here, but read before it. It doesn't make sense to what we think plunder is. And when we think plunder, we think pirates.
Right.
But here it's saying, as you go, go to each woman and ask of her and her neighbor, and any woman who lives with her, for silver and gold to complete the journey which I am sending you on. It doesn't say hold them hostage. It says, I am here in the name of the Lord, and the Lord supplies the vicar, his compensation to get through his vicarage. So it's not plunder, like he's going in there and beating all these women up and holding them for ransom. They're gladly giving them these things.
Right. And I think, too, you know, I mean, I think you also see it in those verses that, as you said, you know, this isn't pirates doing the plundering. This is the women of the people of Israel. This is not the army, not the warriors, not the mighty men of Israel who's doing this plundering, but it's just the women, right? I mean, and not just the women in a negative sense, but it's those living in the houses, taking care of the households. Through them, the Lord is going to plunder the Egyptians as a way of, you know, reminding Pharaoh. I mean, perhaps we might even consider that in fact is a wonder that the Lord does there in Egypt when he plunders the Egyptians with the women, right? As a way to remind them that who is this that has done this, right? Who is the one who's delivering the people from slavery? He's using his vicar Moses, right? But it's the Lord who's doing it.
And that sounds an awful lot like Mary to me, but not to get all Christological, but sounds a lot like Mary, who would give birth to the one who would plunder sin, death, and the devil.
Hmm. No, that's an interesting insight there. Pastor Mize, we have about 3.5 minutes left here on our morning. Any points that we didn't hit that you'd like to bring up or give us a summary of what we've talked about this morning?
I don't have anything more to add. That was a lot to go through, and hopefully can touch on it Tuesday or come back to it every once in a while to use some of the terms that we've used, because I'm going to keep looking at some of these terms that we've used in our banter here, because I think there's a lot to be said and a lot in these texts, and I don't think we've preached enough from the Old Testament anyway. So there's Christ all through this text, and I know that because he is who he is. We on Holy Trinity Sunday we confessed who he is, who God the Father is, who God the Son is, who God the Holy Spirit is, Jesus Christ equal in divinity, less than the Father in his humanity. And so we can really understand Christ is not the vicar of the Father. Moses was. Christ is the intercessor and the propitiation, which is something very, very different. That's why typologies are only slightly better than analogies. But still, you can see in there Christ, because where you see the Father, so you'll see the Son.
Pastor Gavin Mize is pastor at Augustana Evangelical Lutheran Church in Hickory, North Carolina, helping us out this morning with Exodus 3, verses 13 through 22. Pastor Mize, thank you for your time and your words this morning.
Absolutely. Looking forward to being back.
God gives us his name. Moses asked, "Who do I say has sent me?" And he responds, "I am who I am. The Lord is." The Lord is with his people. He is with them to be their Savior. This name that he gives to Moses, Moses gives to the people as their salvation. This name means wonders that he will do in the land of Egypt to set them free from slavery. But that wasn't the end. This name means salvation for you and for me, to set us free from slavery to sin. That name has been given to our Savior, to Jesus Christ, who bears that name for the sake of salvation. And indeed, he is our salvation by his death and his resurrection. And now you and I have been given that name. This name that was given to Moses now is put upon you in the waters of holy baptism, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And we speak our amen to that, knowing that God's name will do what it says, that it will remain with us throughout this life as he strengthens the faith that he gives in word and in sacrament to our last days, so that on our last day, when we die and go to be with Christ in the confidence that he will raise us from the dead on the last day with that name that he's given us, knowing our names as well. That is the hope that we have as Christians, as those who trust in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God we know, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Thanks for tuning in this morning. I'm your host, Pastor Timothy Apple of Grace Lutheran Church in Smithville, Texas. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.